Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
So last week we were talking about all the crazy going on in the world, and I wanted to speak the word for this season, for this time that we're in. I just asked the Holy Ghost, and he just said, talk on love. It's what matters most. And, you know, I saw a great example of this because how many have ever shopped at Walmart? How many every time you shop at Walmart, you swear you will never shop at Walmart again? And say, am I the only person? Every time I shop there, I think, I will never shop here again. But we keep going back. You know, I'm a shopper. Any other, you know? But I'm a shopper. Any other shopper? I mean, I think we're all shoppers, right? I mean, we know how to shop. And so a few weeks ago, it was no tax day. And, you would have thought they were giving stuff away for free at Walmart, which they don't do. They don't do that. And so anyway, at Walmart, they had the lines were just like, I don't think I've ever seen lines like these. And they only had, I mean, it's tax-free weekend. The place is mobbed, to say the least. And they have, no exaggeration, a 24-hour superstore. They have like three registers open. I looked at my sister-in-law. I was like, it's going to get ugly in here. People carry weapons. It is going to get ugly in here. We need to just go. Because, I mean, people were getting irate. But here's the funny part. They had the manager on duty had all these people sorting through stuff people had returned. And so what was making people even more angry than they were was seeing all of these employees, including managers, so obviously they can run a register, right? All these people doing something which to them did not matter. Who cares about that stuff that people are that have returned? What about the literally hundreds of people that are trying to buy stuff? I mean, it was so bad, people were just throwing their stuff on the ground and leaving. I mean, it was crazy. You know, you're like looking for the camera, like, is something, you know, is that guy from that show, What Would You Do? Is he about to come out, you know? Is he about to come out and be like, oh, you got really bad, you know? The thing that made everybody more mad, because if all hands were on deck and everybody was trying, and maybe like, hey, you know, we're sorry these lines are so long, but it's tax-free weekend, and we got everybody, we got here running registers, but boy, there's just a lot of people. We'd be like, oh, yeah, that's okay, no problem, you know, we're all in this together. But no, it wasn't like that. It was like people from the back of the line, why aren't they running a register, you know? What's going on? What are you doing? I mean, people were so upset because it didn't seem like they were doing what mattered. This is like doing what mattered. And as I was standing there, God uses the most amazing situations to give me sermon help. And I started thinking, this must be what it looks like to the Lord. Because as believers, so often we are so busy doing stuff that it matters. I mean, it needs to get done. I mean, those things need to get sorted and put away. It needs to get done. But it's not what matters most. And the Lord must look at us sometimes and think, man, I wish you'd just get busy doing what matters most. Amen? Get done what needs to get done. And let's save this other stuff for either later or let somebody else do it. But when we think about that, we got to remember what the Word says. And the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6, it says, if you are a follower of Christ Jesus, all that matters, say all that matters, is your faith that makes you love others. We want to do what matters to God. Amen? We want to be busy about the Lord's business, but we got to make sure we're taking care of His business and not business that we just think is His business. Because a lot of stuff that believers think they're taking care of, really, love would take care of that. You're trying to take care of the fruit of a situation and not the root of a situation. A lot of times the reason that people act the way they do and have the problems that they have and the world is in such chaos, really that's a fruit, or that's what has grown from what's really going on. What's really going on is that they don't know that God loves them or that anybody else loves them, and so it just makes them a little wacky and crazy. And so we've got to get busy doing what matters most to God. And so last week we started just talking about love and what matters to God. And so we're over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we learned just real quick, because this is one of those things that you got to repeat. And I love what Mark Hinken said. He said that Brother Hagin set him free of the fear of repetition. Remember how, if you're not familiar with Brother Hagin's ministry, he would tell the same stories. You'd be sitting in the pew thinking, I've heard this story. And then the next time you're like, I've heard this story, I can tell you this story. And the next time you just say the story with him, because you've heard it so many times. But the thing is that those stories and those messages and those faith messages, you didn't realize it, but by hearing them, they were bringing faith to you and they were changing you from the inside out. And that's what we need. So never check out on something and say, I've already heard this. You need to hear it and hear it even after you're doing it. You need to hear it to make sure you're still doing it right. Because, you know, have you ever gotten instructions, but then you've been doing it for so long, you quit reading the instructions, you quit paying attention, and then over time, you just kept getting a little more off, and then suddenly you're like, hey, I'm not even doing this right anymore. You know, a lot of times that's what happens to believers. We're like, oh, I've heard that before. But then as time goes, you let the world slips in a little more, and then suddenly you get back to the Word, and you're like, wow, I've lost a little bit of this. Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever heard a faith message and you're like, man, what have I been doing for the last 2 months, right? Or what have I been doing for the last 2 years? I need to be believing God, right? So anyway, we're going to repeat this, but it's good for us. And so we learned over here in verse number 1, it says, if I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise, like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. God says words without love are just noise. Words without love are empty. And so we can get for this, if we don't live a life of love, nothing I say will matter. You want what you say to matter, you've got to have some love behind it. And then moving quickly to verse number 2, it says, I may have the gift of prophecy, I may understand all the secret things of God, I may have all knowledge, but if I do not have love, then I am nothing. Doesn't care how much you know, if you don't have love in it, it just doesn't matter. You know, sometimes we want to be all puffed up and our self-esteem come from what we know or what we do or things like that. It doesn't work that way. It comes from the love of God. Amen. Truly, that's where it comes from. And then there's a, excuse me. And then let's keep going here. And it says, I have all the faith so that I can remove mountains, and but have not love, I am nothing. You know, sometimes people think, oh, I'm such a faith person. But it says, even if I have the gift of faith so I can speak to a mountain and make it move. In other words, a miracle worker. You could be a miracle worker. The Bible says you'd still be worth nothing without love. Amen. Don't get so caught up in being spiritual, you forget that all that spirituality, what it's for is to love people. That's what it's for. You know, sometimes we think, oh, it's for me to preach. Oh, it's for me to teach. It's for me to wow you with my unbelievable knowledge. And you know what? That's not the case, because, you know, over in 1 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, he says, be an example. Be an example. He never said, he said, be an example in love and truth and kindness. He said, be an example in how you live. He didn't say, like, be a good preacher, be a good teacher, be a good miracle worker. No, because you know what? He said, be an example. Be an example. And he told him, be an example of love. Because Paul knew, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're raising people from the dead. You know, that's going to get a lot of people. But then it's not going to keep people. It's just going to be a show without the love of God. And you know what? There's shows all over town. You can see pretty much anything. You know, really. I mean, you can see a lot of stuff. But you know what? We don't want to be a show. We want to be a movement. And that's what Jesus was, is. That's what he is. But when he was on the earth, he didn't just raise people from the dead. He didn't just heal the sick. He did all that with love. And so we got to make sure that we're not getting so spiritual that we're forgetting that all of it's for loving people. It's all for loving people. What did God say matters most? That you love people. All right, let's keep going. It says, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body. In other words, I became a martyr, a sacrificial giving. But I didn't love others. I would be of no value whatsoever. That's pretty amazing. That's a translation there. No value whatsoever. Can you be in a relationship and give with selfish motives? Sure, absolutely you can. Giving is not necessarily always loving. Because a lot of times when we give, now probably nobody in here, but maybe next service people, those guys. Those guys are trouble. I'm just telling you. Those 11 o'clockers, they're trouble. I'm just kidding. It's the 12:45 people that are trouble. But, you know, we can give for the show. We can give for the show. Look at me. Look how fabulous I am. Look what a martyr I am. Here I am. I'm giving again. You know, do you think I'm wonderful? I hope you do, because I'm giving everything I have. Everything I have, I'm giving it. And you know what? I want you to like me because I give so much. Or I want you to, you know, talk great about me. And you know, that's not love. Love is not a trade. Love is not a trade. Love never says, if you do this, then I'll do this. Aren't you glad? You know, God loves you whether you accept him or not. Amen. He loves you whether you love him or not. And see, that's love. See, some people are like, I'll love you, but you got to love me. That's not real love. Amen. That's a trade. You're trading. Real love says, I'm going to love you no matter what. Whether you love me back, whether you agree with me, whether you live like me, whether you look like me, whether you talk like me, whether you act like me, I'm still going to love you. That's God love. And so we got to make sure, like this is, you can be a martyr. You can give your everything. You can let your body die. You can give your life. And he says, but if you don't love people, it's nothing. I mean, think about that for a second. You can give you can give everything. But if you don't have love in it, God says it doesn't matter. Are we seeing how important love is? It's what matters most. It's more important than what you say. It's more important than what you know. It's more important than all the faith you have. It's more important than the giving you're doing. Some people are like, oh, I'm going to give, you know, give financially. But then there's always strings attached. And you know what I do? I'm just like, you know, I'll be like, I have never accepted anything at this church with a string attached to it. You don't run this church. I run this church. I run this church with the help of a great staff who are the elders and deacons of the church. And so if you say, oh, well, I'm going to give this money, but you have to do this. That's not how it works. If it's God to do it, sure, we'll do it. But we're not going to do it just to get your money. Because then your giving isn't to God. Your giving is to get something. That's not giving. You're paying for something. You're paying for something. And that's not how it works. That's not how it works. And so we've got to make sure. And see, that's where all those selfish motives and it becomes about us comes in. And God says, listen, if you got that going on and what you're doing, it's not worth anything to me. And so I think a lot of people are born again, but they're going to get to heaven and they're going to think that they're going to think that they got a crown so big they're going to need angels to help them hold it up. You know? There's going to be like angels walking around just holding their crown because it's so big. I think a lot of people are going to be there and be like, what in the world? And they're going to see some other people that they didn't pay much attention to, and their crown's going to be so big that they're going to need angels to help them hold it up. And they're going to be like, what happened? And you know what I believe the Lord's going to show them? Did you read 1 Corinthians 13? You had a lot of faith. You were doing some great things. You even gave yourself. But I told you, if you weren't loving people, it wasn't going to matter. It just wasn't going to matter. And so, you know, I think if we, let's just stop for a second. You're getting a little off track here. Let's just stop for a second and think, in all the crazy that's going on in the world, in all the people that you see that are so hurting and so vile with what they say and what they do, all that stuff, the truth of the matter is, the love of God is what they need. Amen? They don't need another message. They don't need to see another show. They don't need to hear about another martyr. What they need is true love that comes from God. Because God said that's what matters most. And so it really kind of makes us reevaluate some stuff we're doing, doesn't it? Like, man, why am I doing this? Am I doing this because I love you, or am I doing it to get something back? Am I doing it because I just want to give to you, or am I doing it so you'll think I'm great? You know, when I was talking to somebody on the phone and they were telling me that they wanted to make sure they had a generous heart. And I said, listen, a generous heart is cultivated. We're not born with them. You ever see a two-year-old? They do not have a generous heart. Everything is mine. And they want to do everything their own way, right? Mine, 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 mine. We're not born with generous hearts. But they're made. They're trained. Parents, you're training your kids to have generous hearts. And then when we get older, we got to make sure that we keep cultivating that generous heart. You know how you cultivate a generous heart? Be generous. And then if you feel like you're starting to do it, you know, like you want people to know, then do it and make sure nobody knows. See how well you handle it. And if you're having trouble with it, do it again. Because you're telling your flesh, no, this is how we give. We give because we give. Not to receive, not to get anything back. We give because we give. Amen. From love. When's the last time we did something where nobody knows it was you? You didn't take out a billboard or let everybody know, or, hey, see this back? Go ahead and pat it. Yep, that was me. That was me. You know, and there's nothing wrong with patting people on the back. There's nothing wrong with recognizing and thanking for things. But we got to make sure that we're not doing things for that reward. That's a great thing, and it makes us feel good, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that cannot be our ultimate motivation. Because God says, listen, if that's why you're doing it, it's not going to matter. All right, let's keep going here. All right. It says, if I give everything I have to the poor, even sacrifice my body, in other words, I became a martyr of sacrificial giving, but I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. If I don't live a life of love, nothing I accomplish is going to matter. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:3 in the Message, it says this, no matter what I say or what I believe or what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Isn't that good? No matter what I say or what I believe or what I do, I am bankrupt without love. You can rack up an incredible list of personal achievements. You can get your picture on the cover of a magazine. You could get a Nobel Prize. You could be Entrepreneur of the Year. You could be the richest person on the world. You could do all of that. But God, when God looks at that, he says, if there's not love in that, it's bankrupt. It's less than nothing. One translation says, less than zero. How many do not want God to call you a less than zero? No way. I don't want to stand before him one day and him be like, you know, you're really just less than zero. I don't want to hear that. And so I got to make sure that I got love in everything that I got going on. How about you? And so we're talking so much about love, we got to make sure that we know what love is. There's a lot of misconceptions for people, and two common ones are, many people think love is a feeling. Love is not a feeling. Amen. You know, they think it's a you know, they got all this emotion and you've got butterflies in your stomach, so that must mean I'm in love. No. How many figured that out when you were? No. If that were true, we'd all be married to whoever we had a crush on when we were, what, 12 or 13. We would have, if we thought that was love, right? Because that's when you first start looking at somebody and thinking, this is interesting. And all these different feelings start coming up. And you're like, how many have teenagers? You know what I'm talking about. You know, it's not an emotion. It's not a knot in your stomach. It's not that. You could have just eaten bad pizza. Here's a really good statement. Love creates feelings, but love is not a feeling. It creates feelings. How many know it creates feelings? Of course it does. There's nothing like being in love. Nothing like it. Excuse me, I'm sorry I'm eating a cough drop while I'm talking, but it's better than that and hacking all over my podium and my notes and you're not getting what you're supposed to get, right? But you know, love creates feelings, but love is not a feeling. You know, and the truth of the matter is like especially when you're married for any length of time, there will be a time when you do not have feelings of love towards your spouse. Now, newlyweds are always like, no, that will never happen. Never, ever. You wait. You wait, because it will happen. And, you know, I believe that a lot of people that truly love one another, and are truly called to be together, I believe that they end their marriages too soon. Because they get trapped in the thought of thinking that love is a feeling. And when that feeling doesn't feel the same way it did when you first met, you think, oh, it's not you, I'm just not in love with you anymore. And that is based on false information that the enemy is putting out that love is a feeling. Love is not a feeling. The Bible tells us that love is a command. Love is a choice. Tells us to put on love. Amen. Love is something you put on. You don't feel it, you do it. Amen. That's love. Because, you know, I've met some people I don't feel like loving. There's people in this church, I'll be honest with you, I don't feel like loving them. Because some of the stuff they say, I'd rather smack them. You know, that's just the truth. And any pastor that would say anything different is lying. Because just like in your family, are there not members of your family that sometimes you'd rather just strangle them? Sometimes you're just like, please don't tell anyone that we're related. Please, please. I mean, but you love them. But then if somebody else starts talking about them, you're like, wait a minute. That's my mom, right? I could talk about my mom. You? No. Why? Because you love them. Love is not a feeling. Another thing, a misconception, is people think love is uncontrollable. We use the phrase, I fell in love, like we stumble into it, like it's an accident, like it's a hole you fall into. That's not real love. You know, people say love at first sight. There's no such thing as love at first sight. There is attraction at first sight. There is infatuation at first sight. There is not love at first sight. Amen. It just doesn't even make sense. Here's two things the Bible tells us about love. Love is a choice. Colossians says, put on love. It's like getting dressed. You have a choice to get dressed or get undressed every morning. You have a choice of what you're going to put on. How many of you looked at your closet today and you saw you had some clothes there and you picked what you wanted to wear? Right? Anybody still getting their clothes laid out for them? Anybody? You need help, brother. Come on now. Come on now. Getting your clothes. Well, some men need their clothes laid out for them. So, you know, that could be. But, you know, I'm kidding. Some ladies need their clothes laid out for them, too. So let's be fair, right? Has anybody shopped at Walmart lately? Some of those ladies, they should have had different clothes laid out for them, right? But, you know, we opened up our closet and we made a choice and we put something on. And that's exactly every time you see somebody, every time you come in contact with somebody, the Bible says put on love. You have a choice of what you're going to put on. You can put on hatred, and you can say, I hate you because you're different. I hate you because my family hates you. I hate you for whatever crazy reason. I mean, you look at the news and people hate somebody, want them killed, want them gone, you know, just dead because of the religion that they are. That's craziness. That's just crazy. And so, you know, every day we make a choice where we put on something. Well, you can put on judgment very easy. Anybody ever put on some judgment? We all have. Don't look around like that. We all have. But you know what? As soon as you feel that on you, you need to take it off.
Amen.
No. Those feelings, remember, love is not a feeling. Those feelings may come up in you, those feelings of, you know what I mean, where we're just like, you know, whatever. But we got to remember, those are feelings. I'm not controlled by my feelings. I am controlled by my choices. And I control my choices. I make a choice. You may be different from me. You may look different. You may live different. You may sound different. You may act different. You may live a life that I am completely, 100%, totally opposed to. Because of the way that you act. Maybe you're you hurt people or something like that. I mean, we look at people like, that person, how can they do that? Well, you always got to remember the enemy is always behind all that. And so there's a moment where, yes, I'm angry with what you have done. I'm angry with the people, you know, the situation. But the person underneath all that hurt, the person underneath however they were raised, that person, no matter what, God still loves them. And he says, I need to still love them too.
Amen.
And so I gotta put that on. How many ever put something on you don't want to put on? You know, it's like, all right, let's put it on. All right. We got to, because we want to matter. Because God says that's what matters most. And so sometimes when we see people and they're you know, they've got stuff going on in their life, we just want to put on our spiritual jacket. And we want to point out to them all the reasons why what they're doing is wrong according to the Word of God. And God says that doesn't matter. You can't just wear that. You got to put your love jacket on over what you know, what you say, the faith you have, the things you give. You got to make sure that love jacket's on too. Because if it's not, listen, nobody wants to hear about how wrong they are. Do you? I don't. I need to. You need to, but we don't like it, right? We don't like it, and isn't it so much better when it comes from somebody who we know truly loves us?
Amen.
The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians, you keep reading, it says, love speaks the truth. When you love somebody, that's the only right you have to speak truth into someone's life. If you don't love them, you need to keep your mouth shut because you're not the one. You are not the one that God's going to use to speak truth to them. Some people, I just need to give them a piece of my mind. You better keep that. You better keep it. They need to be set straight. That may be true, but the Bible says that God makes a crooked path straight. Love speaks the truth. Love speaks the truth. So before you go off on some things, you got to make sure. You got to stop. All right, let's keep going. You guys get me all off track here. 16 times in the New Testament, the Bible says, love one another. 16 times. We said this last week, it's so true. Somebody asked Jesus to summarize the whole Bible. He said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's what's most important. You got to love God, you got to love people, and you got to love you. That's a whole nother message. You got to love God, you got to love people, you got to love you. And so I don't think we got to this last week. I'm just going to give you a couple of ways to love some people. How many want to love on some people? It's a good idea. Here's how to love some people. One of the ways we can love people that God kind of love, we can put on love, we can put on that love jacket, is we can accept other people unconditionally. Somebody say unconditionally. Sometimes we only want to accept people on conditions. You can come in, but you just messed everything up. I'll love you if, no, you just mess it all up. Now remember, love is also not acceptance. Just because I love you doesn't mean I'm okay with everything going on in your life. And you know what? That's how God loves me. He loves me, but God's not okay with everything going on in my life. Don't look at me like that. God's not okay with everything going on in your life either. Right? How many of us could be a little more kind to people? How many of us, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things. We could, the list is long. But God loves me. It's not based on my actions. It's not based on who I know or anything like that. God loves me. And so God always loves me. But God doesn't always like what I do. But his love for me is unconditional. Is unconditional. And so he always loves me, but he does not always love what I do. And so, but I need to, and that's how we got to be with people. I will always love you, but I may not be okay with what's going on in your life. Not that I'm judging it and harping on it, I just don't agree with it. It's not, it doesn't line up with the word. You know, if somebody is out on the street, and there is somebody out on these streets right now today that I love, but they have a major drug problem, I'm not okay with that. And that's a hard place. See, somebody would say, well, love will say that you let them do whatever they want to do, and you approve of it. Some people think that's what love does. Oh, you just got to let people do whatever they want to do. Well, I got to respect your choice, but I don't have to like it. It's your choice. You can do whatever you want to do, but I don't have to like it. And so the person who's out on the streets, I love them. I love them, but I'm not going to let them sleep in my house. I can't. You know why? I'll wake up and everything in my house will be gone. They'd sell my dog if they could, I bet. I mean, just the truth. And so love doesn't mean that it's like, oh, it's, everything's okay. Do whatever you want. It's fine. I love you. I love you. Yeah, I love you, but I still have some boundaries. I love you, but I personally have standards. You don't have to adopt my standards for me to love you. I love you whether you have my standards or not. Amen. Just like you need to love me. Just because my standards are different from yours, you still need to love me. That's where a lot of times we mess up. We want everybody to agree with us. You got to agree with me, then I'll love you. No, that's not how it works. Aren't you glad God doesn't love you just because you're walking in perfection? No, he loves you. And some of us are like, oh, please, no, Lord. God loves us no matter how we're walking. No matter how we're walking. And so when we love people, we accept them. And notice the basis for acceptance. It says we accept other people because Christ has accepted us. Before you start judging other people and putting your nose down and saying all the reasons why they're no good and this, this, and this, I don't even like to give examples because that's just so far from who I am. I just won't talk like that. You can just turn on the TV and see it. You need to remember, you need to look in the mirror and say, you know what, God accepted me. When I had a whole list of stuff too. God still accepts me. When I still have a whole list of stuff. He still accepts me. And so before you refuse to talk to somebody or look at somebody or hug somebody or invite somebody into church or ask somebody to sit next to you or give somebody something because of whatever reason you got going on, you need to look in the mirror and say, God accepted me. Amen. And that's why I need to accept you. And before you start pointing out everybody else's sin, remember what the Bible tells us. We judge ourselves. And a lot of times, I think we're going to get to heaven and God's going to be like, listen, that doesn't even mean what you thought it meant. That's what you guys are preaching something. That didn't even mean what it was supposed to mean. That doesn't even mean what you think it means. People are like, you know, there's people that judge most of us women in here because looking around, most of us have makeup on. You know? And let's just be honest, we need it. You know, I mean, thank God for it. I thank God for makeup. You should too, because you got to look at my face. You should thank God for it too. Brother Hagin used to say, if the barn needs a coat of paint, you paint it, right? You paint it. But you know what? If we were to walk into some churches with a coat of paint on, and maybe some earrings on and her hair cut short, they'd be like, oh no, you're not accepted here because of this, 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 and this, this. Now we think that's crazy, right? We think that's ridiculous. But yet, that's a less subtle way that that happens. But there are other ways that happens in churches just like ours. Somebody comes in, they might look a little different. Maybe they got some stuff tattooed. You've never seen it tattooed before. Like, whoa, right? Maybe they got something pierced, and you're like, wow, okay. They look different than you. So we don't say, I don't accept you. We don't say, I don't love you. But when that person comes this way, we go this way. Because they're different than we are. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't give you the once-over before, you know? You got to be careful. You know, some people think, like, you don't notice when you do this. People notice.
Yeah.
They notice. And it's hurtful and it's painful. And so we got to make sure that we're loving on people. And when then they walk in, no matter how big, small, what color, what's pierced, what's not pierced, who they're with, whatever, it doesn't matter. Because you know what? There's a church somewhere. There's some religious person somewhere. For some reason, I bet every one of us would be disqualified. All of us could find somewhere where some religious person who was super spiritual would be like, no, you can't, no. I certainly would be. There's a whole group of people that think I shouldn't even do what I do. But you know what I say to them? Don't come here then. You know? Because I'm not going to not do the call of God on my life. I'm not going to live the life that God called me to. I'm not going to walk in the anointing that's on me because I make you uncomfortable. You just need to go somewhere else. I love you. I do not agree with you. So just go somewhere else. I'm not going to talk bad about you. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to scream at you. I'm not going to hold up a sign. You know? I'm not going to do any of those things. I'm just going to be like, you know what? You know what I tell people? I'm like, listen. I'm not qualified because I'm female. My brother's male. He meets your requirements. Go sit under him. I just send him all those problems. He usually call me and be like, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Don't be too harsh. He sends his problems over here. No, I'm just kidding. Usually people like that don't stick in a church anyway, so it don't matter. But you know what my point is, there's a reason why we could all be disqualified. And just like that, like those scriptures that people use, I study them out, and thousands and millions of other people study it out and find it doesn't mean what they think it means. Because if that, you know, not that I want to park here, but I've been getting in trouble lately for running over. We gotta go. For the children's people. Because they got to flip their class over, you know, they got another service to go. But, you know, some people will be like, women need to keep silent in the church. Aren't you ladies glad you get to say amen in here? Amen. Aren't you glad you don't have to sit on one side of the church and the men on the other? Aren't you glad about, you guys are glad about that. You like sitting next to each other. Aren't you glad that the men aren't running things and don't want you to keep silent? Not, you know, you can do all the work, but don't say nothing. You know, them days are over. Amen. And they weren't even in the Bible. There was lots of people in the Bible, women just like you, just like me, who did amazing things for God.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you got to get out of your comfort zone to get into the God zone.
Amen.
And that might be, you know, I was raised in a denominational church. When I felt called of God, the only thing I saw ladies do is go to Africa and teach children's ministry. It's funny, they'll let you raise up their kids, but they won't let you talk to anybody else. That doesn't make sense. And so I thought, well, I must not have heard from God because, for one, I don't want to go to Africa, you know, although I went, you know. I don't want to go there, and, you know, I love kids, but that's not my thing. And so I just kind of walked away from it. But you know what? The call of God was always there because the call of God has a lifetime warranty and never goes away.
Amen.
Amen. And then just, you know, I never thought I'd do this. I'll be honest with you, I never planned to pastor a church. Never. I planned to support somebody else pastor a church. But God had a different, God, this is how it worked out. And you know what? I encourage you, if you make people uncomfortable because of who you are or what you are or what you're doing, but you're doing what you believe God has called you to do, then you just need to keep doing that. And let people be uncomfortable, because you're going to stand before Jesus one day. And you're going to be judged by what you did with your life. And I certainly don't want to stand before Jesus and say, you know what, I just made people uncomfortable, so I quit doing it. You know what, I don't think that'd go over big with him. Because you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, I called you, I appointed you, I anointed you, I gave opportunity for you, I gave you ability, and you quit because you made people uncomfortable. That's not going to go over good with God. You know, so don't, just because maybe you're different than what the package looked like 25 years ago, young people, doesn't mean you're not still the one for that job. Because times change, but the word never changes. And the calling of God never changes. And so, you know, we see preachers with tattoos. You never would have saw that 25 years ago. We see it all the time now. And so just love people and do what God's called you to do. I know we got a little off track there, but praise the Lord. Let's pray. We got to go. You guys get me in all kind of trouble. Father, we just thank you. Lord, I pray for everybody here. I just believe that you took us off track, Lord, for a reason. I believe there's someone here that's struggling with what you've called them to do. Maybe nobody in their family's ever done it before. It's different. Maybe it's just living a holy lifestyle and everybody around them saying, no, it's okay, but you know. You know inside that it's not okay. It might be okay for the world, but it's not okay for you. Because you've been raised to a higher standard. But you're making some people uncomfortable with the choices you're making. I know that person is here in this room today. You're making people uncomfortable with the godly choices you're making. You just remember, you don't answer to men. You answer to God. You do what God's called you to do. He'll take care of you. So, Father, I pray for that person right now. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're speaking truth to them. You're encouraging them from the inside out. You're reminding them that your word, that your truth, that your calling is great. And I just thank you, Lord, that they have the courage to walk out whatever it is. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's receive our offering this morning.